Friends, as we continue a sermon series on prayer, I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. And we'll be looking at just a few verses there, 5 through 10, actually. 5 through 10, not 5 through 13. Change that a little bit. Luke 11, 5 through 10, page 1481 in the Bibles provided, page 18. Or 1481, sorry. Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity," sometimes that's translated persistence or perseverance or importunity, but a lot of different possibilities there. "Because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, when a preacher titles the sermon, "Prayer, What Else Is It?" he knows that if you didn't hear last week's sermon, you're starting off today a week behind. So friends, for you who weren't here or who just don't remember, because that happens too, like forgetting what you ate last Tuesday for supper, I'm giving a short review for you. Last week we said prayer is a relationship of abiding with Jesus, in which we are dependent on Him, in which we are enfolded into Him, and in which we are empowered by Him. Today we're going to add 3 more "in whiches" for a total of 6. 6 ways to describe what prayer is or what is going on when we pray. How about that? You're all caught up. Would that Grundboom's sermons were all that short, huh? Now, to help us fill in the next 3 "in whiches" and to inspire us to be people of prayer, first, I want to remind you about this little book. I've mentioned it last week by the late John DeVries, entitled Why Pray, a powerful 40-day devotional book, and I hope you pick it up sometime. A lot of the insights of this sermon series, this 4-part sermon series, are gleaned from DeVries' book. Second, I want to inspire you to be people of prayer by telling you 2 things I heard a very famous actor say recently. It's the actor who played the football coach in Remember the Titans, among many other films, a certain Denzel Washington. Anybody ever heard of him? Of course. The first thing I heard him say was that we have been pronouncing his name wrong for years. He was given the name by his parents as an infant, and they called him Denzel Washington, named after his father, Denzel Washington Sr. It was only later on in his boyhood when his mama would call out Denzel, and they both would answer, "Yes," that his mama, in frustration, told him, "Son, your name is now pronounced Denzel, because I'm sick of all the confusion." And he's been Denzel ever since. Mamas call the shots on that sort of thing. Now, that's not the important thing that Denzel Washington said in his interview. The important thing was how this Academy Award-winning actor responded to a question, and the question was this: how would you like to be remembered? Now, he was reluctant to answer that for a moment, but then he said, "As a man of God." And then he continued, "But just as important as saying, a man of God is the process of becoming a man of God. It comes through personal conversation with God. It comes from your encounters with God. And that's inspiring for us, I think, to home in on the process of becoming men and women and boys and girls of God. That process, Denzel is convinced, comes from personal conversation, encounters with God. That's prayer. Regular, consistent prayer. Third, I want to inspire you to be people of prayer by looking and learning from this scripture passage before us. It has a bit to teach us about prayer, and it will fill in those remaining in whiches. The disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he gives them the Lord's Prayer to pray. That's how the chapter starts. But then adds this little parable or story that, for the most part, goes like this. You have a friend, and you go to him at midnight to ask him for some bread because another friend of yours has shown up at your house and you have no food in the house to offer him. What does that make you? You are the friend who is in between two other friends. Your friend B. And you go to friend A to ask for bread because friend C has unexpectedly shown up. Your friend B, you're the middle friend. You're the friend in the middle. You're the link between friend A and friend C. When I was growing up, there was a commercial on TV. Maybe it was Empire Carpets or something like that. 5882, forget it. But they boasted, eliminate the middleman and buy your carpeting direct from us. Eliminate the middleman. Save a bunch of money. Eliminate the middleman. But you see, Jesus, in this little story, does not want the middleman eliminated. The middleman plays a very important role in the story. He is the link between friend A and friend C. He is friend B, the middleman, the middle woman. Jesus is teaching here that prayer is a relationship of abiding with Jesus in which we are the middlemen, the middle women. When you are, how did Denzel say it, when you are becoming a man or woman of God, you are having regular personal conversations and encounters with God in which you are the middleman or the middle woman or the middle girl or the middle boy. Because what you talk about in prayer is what God is helping you see daily in the world around you. You are seeing the needs of the world. Needs far away and needs right nearby. As DeVries says it, when you are in a prayer relationship with God, you are necessarily in a painful relationship with the needs of the world. Because like God, you also are seeing those needs. If you are in a living, loving prayer relationship with God, it will be, in fact, impossible to not see the heartaches in the world just like God sees them. Friend B is visited by friend C and immediately encounters need. This friend C, is hungry, thirsty, he's been journeying, his stomach is growling, he's getting a migraine, he's so hungry. His needs are right in front of you. The more we become people of prayer, the more we recognize the pain, the heartache, the need in the world around us. Now, as friend B, you might think, I've got to look away because I don't know how to fix a lot of those needs. How do you fix a country's violence on your own? How do you wave your magic wand and fix the homeless problem, the hunger problem, the starvation in other countries, the persecution? I don't have the power to fix everything. Now, there are some things you can easily fix. I can help you out. I can give you a few bucks. I can be at this person's side in their time of loss. I can do some things, but there are many other things. We just can't fix them. And our temptation is to turn away, look the other way. God, you're making it so that I see all these needs in the world. I don't know what I can do, so maybe I should just look the other way. And more sinister than that, that little voice inside might even sow the seed of doubt. I even doubt that God can fix this massive problem. I don't have the faith that even God can meet these needs I keep running into. Just look the other way then. Try to forget about them. We do it. You know what Jesus said to friend B about that? No, don't do it. Because you know friend A has the means to meet the need. Get over to friend A's and start knocking and start asking and start pleading. Get over there and say, friend A, I know you've got 6 loaves of fresh-made bread. You gave me a slice with peanut butter and jelly on it today, and it was delicious. And you told me you've got a whole pantry full. Open up. Share. Friend C is starving. As friend B, you see the need, and it's friend C. And you recognize your own inability to meet the need as friend B. But guess what? You, friend B, you know who it is who can meet the need. It's friend A. Get over there to his house. Get on your knees. Start knocking. Start praying. Draw friends A's attention over to friend C. You're the link. You are the missing link. You're the middleman. That's your job. The middle woman. That's your job. Your friend B. Kneel down. Be humble. Say the need out loud. Draw your father, friend A's, attention to the need you have seen, friend C. You have a wealthy friend who meets needs, sometimes miraculously. When you can't, you pray. You have an incredible gift to give for every single need you are aware of. You know friend A, the Father in heaven. Pray for it. What a contribution you, friend B, can give. DeVries tells a wonderful story of living near an inner city apartment complex, 100 units, filled with illegals, filled with families with no fathers, filled with drug dealers. Police were there 15 times a day. But 7 senior ladies in a neighboring church decided to become the middle women, the friends in the middle, friend B's, and started praying fervently for that apartment complex. For months and months and months, they prayed, and blessings began to flow on that apartment complex. And 2 summers later, still praying, they heard from the police that the number of calls for the entire summer was 15 calls. From 15 calls to the police per day to 15 calls the entire summer. They were friend B's, smack dab in the middle, doing the only thing they could think to do: pray and knock consistently on friend A's door. And friend A answered their prayers. Beloved, prayer is a relationship of abiding with Jesus in which we are the middlemen, middle women, middle senior ladies, middle schoolers, middle prayers. We see the need. We recognize we can't do much, but we know the one who can. All right, next one. Prayer is a relationship of abiding with Jesus in which we are traveling alongside him. It's fun to travel with other folks, isn't it? Maybe you're with family, maybe you're with friends, maybe you're on a chock-full sightseeing tour bus. It's fun to travel with others, because what do you do when you travel with other people? I'm sure a lot of you, whether you go up north for this or wait for it right at home or head into a nearby forest preserve, wherever and in whatever manner works for you, you will be watching for the fall colors, right? We call them color tours. That's the next big, would you look at that, activity coming up. Vacations, sightseeing, trips abroad. These are typically more fun when you're with at least one other person, maybe more. My daughter Heidi, youngest, called me out a while back because when I see something wondrous and I'm trying to get the rest of the family to see it too, and they might be in the middle of a conversation. I barge right into the conversation. Do you believe that? I barge right into the conversation, point my finger at the beautiful sight, and I don't say, look at that, look over there. Rather, my daughter has informed me. I just start pointing and interrupting and saying very loudly, look it, look it, look it, look it, Heidi, look it, look it, look it, look it, until they finally look it. And my daughter tells me, Dad, that's not even a sentence. Look it. What is look it? And she's right, but I tell her, hey, that's what my dad, your grandfather, he taught me that. And I'm not changing it. I inherited that trait, and I'm keeping it. She just shakes her head. Look it. I'm seeing something incredible. And I want you to see it too, before it's gone, before we pass it, before it goes behind a cloud, before we can't see it anymore. Look it. Of course, that's prayer, right? God, look it. Look what you've done. Look at the sunset. Look at the sunrise. Look at the mountains. Look at the colors. Look at the solar eclipse. Look at the Tigers win. Look at the Cubs lose. Ugh. When we travel and want to share what we see, we are filled with hope, expectation, anticipation, wonder. Look at God. Look at, look at, look at, look at. When you, friend B, are traveling with God, friend A, so often you can tell God of the wonders you see, don't you? Sometimes we do it, often we do it when we're singing, oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands hath made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, look it, look it, look it! We do it in songs and in prayer too, with friend A. But the hard stuff also, as we travel this world, yeah, the Cubs lost. No, the other stuff, that's the stuff that's really hard. The cancer, the mental illness, the divorce, the abuse, the temper, the betrayal, the injustice, the really hard things going on right in our own homes, but also in our neighborhoods or our country, our world. God, look at what you can do, but also God, look at this hurting person. Please tell me what to do. And if it's nothing my help can even touch, then you, please, do something. That was friend B. Well, he lived right next door to friend A in the story. And he wasn't on a journey, but in a way he was, a journey through life. God, do you see what I see? Someone hungry. What can we do about it? Friend C is having a hard time. You know that, right? What shall we do? What can you do? We're traveling alongside with Jesus our God. He loves hearing us share the scenery with Him. He loves it when we call His attention to something on the journey, the good stuff and the rough stuff as we travel. And third, prayer is a relationship of abiding with Jesus in which we are working with Him. There it is. Prayer is work. I said it. If you didn't know that, you probably haven't attempted to pray fervently and regularly and consistently. Prayer is work. It's right in the text, verse 9. Ask. You've heard this before. The form of the verb ask there means keep on asking. Keep on asking and it will be given to you. Seek. You've heard this before. The form of the verb seek there means keep on seeking. Keep on seeking and you will find. Knock. I know you've heard this before now. The form of the verb knock there means keep on knocking. You keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. Keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. That's work! Man, that's work. Prayer is work. Two things about that very quickly. First, renowned pastor and preaching professor, it's homiletics professor, that's the fancy name for it, Haddon Robinson asked his seminary class, where did Jesus do the work of the atonement? Paying for sin. Was it in the garden Was it in the judgment hall or was it on the cross? And Robinson answered his own question. He said, in his estimation, the real work of atonement came when Christ sweat drops of blood, agonizing in prayer in the garden. Because Christ did the work of prayer, he continued, he could enter Pilate's judgment hall with quiet confidence, and then on the cross he could say, Father, forgive them. Now, whether you agree that Jesus' atonement work, where he paid for our sins, happened in the garden or on the cross, I think if pressed, Robinson would say, in the garden is where it began. But whether you agree that atonement work even began while Jesus sweat the drops of blood in the garden or was limited only to the time on the cross, I think you can agree, at the very least, that the work Jesus did in the garden prepared him for what was ahead as he paid for our sins on the cross. Work was going on in the garden. The sweat-like drops of blood convinces us of that. And it was Jesus' work of prayer. Prayer is work. Jesus will tell you, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And so Jesus did this work, and now we join him. So second, what's our work? Jesus was bringing salvation to a dark world. And now people need to know who brought that salvation. People need to be told and given the good news about Jesus. That's our work. That's how we join in Jesus' work on the cross and in the garden. God is saving this world person by person, and we join him. Our work, first of all, is what Jesus did, first of all. He prayed. We pray for our missionaries. We say this, I say this, as if we are somehow supporting them with our prayers. But what's the real work? It's to pray. The missionaries get to mop up the operation. When prayer is happening, mission, the mission of God is happening. The greatest work we can do is pray for those who need Jesus. As DeVries likes to put it, prayer in his mind was like holding a spotlight in prayer on people he knew needed Jesus. Shine the spotlight. That house over there, it needs Jesus. So he shined the spotlight of prayer on that house. God, look over there. My prayer spotlight is showing you them. But God uses our prayer spotlights to lighten up that house. I'm bringing this house next to mine to your attention, God. I think they need Jesus. So my prayer spotlight is shining right over there for you, Father. And DeVries' other description was that prayer was like a sprinkler. A sprinkler. God, sprinkle your blessings of whatever that family needs, whatever that home needs, whatever that apartment complex needs, sprinkle them with your blessing. As I focus the prayer spotlight on that house, take a good look, God. What will you do? What will you have me do? Will you get them ready for a conversation? And let me aim my prayer sprinkler towards them as well, because I know you have blessings you want to give them. Friends, prayer is work. It's aiming that spotlight. It's directing that sprinkler head right on the people you know need Jesus. As DeVries writes, both things happen. Both things happen when we pray for a specific person or area. God's light of love shines and God's blessings fall on it. Shine your light, Lord. Shower your blessings, Lord. I'll keep praying. That's my work. And you let me know what else I can do and when I can do it. A middle man, a middle woman, a middle girl, a middle boy, friend B, traveling alongside Jesus, working with Jesus. How can you believe it? Along with God's word, of all things, of all people, Denzel told us how. Personal conversations, encounters with God. Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, remind us just what prayer is often. Remind us to be friend B more than we are now. Remind us to work hard in our prayer lives. Give us strength for it. And then thrill us with the work that is praying for those who need Jesus. And when appropriate, and in your timing, and you let us know, help us to open our mouths, not just in prayer, but in speaking to those neighbors too. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.